We begin the current daf Masechet in the Darim daf Samachet. We begin in the top of the Yomid, but the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes in the previous Mishnah regarding if one can make a Pesach with what's noilid. And that is, this halacha that you could make a Pesach, the Chacham, you go to the sage, and he finds some type of flaw in the neder that was made, and that is, you would not have made it had you known that. That's called a Pesach. And there was a machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding noilid. That is, there was nothing that you would have known at the time of the neder, but a later development, which was not known, develops, which then that changes everything about the circumstance of the neder. Is that a valid Pesach for the neder? Rabbi Eliezer says yes. Chachamim say no. And the source in the Gemara for Rabbi Eliezer is from a pasuk where Hashem found a Pesach for Moshe Rabbeinu's oath that he took to Yisroel, whereas that he's going to stay in Midian and not go back to Mitzrayim. Now, as the Ran explained, his primary reasoning for the neder, for the oath, the shvu that he took, was because of Dasam Avim, who wanted him dead. And Hashem told him, don't worry, Kimesu Anashim, the men are dead. And therefore, you see that although death is something that's not expected, it's a later development, and still, that's how Hashem found the Pesach for his shvu that he made for Yisroel. Now, that the Chacham argued, they say that no, that they didn't really die, it's just that they became poor, and as the Ram brought from the Yushalmi, becoming poor is something that's common enough in the sense that it was something that you could have known at the time of the neder, and that's not something like death, which is not expected and just a later development, and therefore they argue, and you don't see from that at all that you could make a Pesach with a noilid, because that's not considered noilid. Now that's why our Gemara continues on the top of Samachim et Alf in regards to this case of the pasuk that was brought for the Shvuah of Moshe Rabbeinu that he took to Yisroel, that he's going to stay in Midian. So Tanya, we learn a related halacha from that parsha. We learn the brisa, hamudr hanoa mechaveret. If someone took a neder, prohibiting to have pleasure from his friend. Now actually, some have the girsa, as brought in Tosefta and the Yerushalmi, that the girsa is actually hamudr hanoa mechaveret befanav. If someone took a neder, prohibiting himself to have pleasure from his friend in front of him, and that's how it's understood from Tosis and the Rush over here, and actually the Ran himself, in the Tshuva and Siman Tezvav, brings this girsa, and he writes that according to this girsa, if you had the girsa befanav, that would mean that if you take the neder not in front of that other person, then unlike the halacha of our Gemara, then you would be able to permit that neder even not in front of that other person. And the Ran brings the Shita of Tosis over here and writes that that is the appropriate opinion, even though he says it doesn't go according to how he explains our sugya over here, Masechtas Nedarim, because he wrote it based on our girsa and he didn't have the Tosis at that time, and he says maybe he's going to correct it, but we're going to explain the sugya according to the Ran, how we have it in our girsa, which it just says, Hamuda no mechaveri. If someone took a neder prohibiting him to have pleasure from his friend, so ein matirin lo el b'fanav. So then we only permit the neder in front of that other person. Now the Ran explains two interpretations of this halacha. Now those who, he says, want to explain this halacha, that it's only when he made the neder for the purposes of his friend. For example, like the neder that, in other words, when you're making a neder, you're not going to have pleasure from the other person, that you don't want to take away stuff from him. It's for the taiva, it's for the benefit of that other person. For example, as the Gemara will shortly bring, like the neder that Moshe Rabbeinu made to Yisroel, which is that he's going to stay with him in Midian and he's going to help him out. He was the only man over there because he had only daughters. He was going to be a son-in-law that was going to help him. He was going to stay there. So too, as the Gemara will later bring regarding the oath that Tzidkiyo made for Nebuchadnezzar, which was also for the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar, that he shouldn't be embarrassed. That's where the halacha is, that immaterial elisha ela befanav. But a neder that was not, although it was related to that other person, but it wasn't made for the benefit of that other person, then there are those who want to say that you could permit the neder, you could be matter the neder, even shalei befanav, even not in front of that other person. Now that the Ran says that the two different interpretations, we just quoted one, and the other one that some want to say in this braisa, he says, it seems to be talud and dependent on machlekes in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi brings that this halacha that you can only matter the neder, which was regards to having enough from someone else, only when the other person is present, that there are those that bring the reason over there is because of embarrassment. In other words, that he's going to be ashamed from his friend, who the neder was for that person's benefit, and now he wants to be matter the neder and get out of it, so that reasoning would only apply, again, if the neder was made for the benefit of that other person. But if it wasn't, then it would be mashma that you could permit it, even not in front of that other person. But there are those who explain over there in the Yerushalmi a different reason, and it's called because of the chashat, of suspicion. In other words, his friend, who he's forbidden to have pleasure from, he took a neder, I'm not having enough from that other person, So either it could be because to benefit that other person, which that would be the concept of busha. That's why you have to be matir only in front of him, that you'll be embarrassed to undo it when you were trying to help him out. In this case, I'm not taking from him, and then you're going to. The other reasoning brought over there is because of suspicion. Because the one that he made a neder that he's not having anav from doesn't know about that he was matir the neder. Now, when this person now goes and has anav from that person, he's going to say, what's going on? Didn't he make a neder that he can't have for me? He's going to suspect him that he's violating the halach of his neder. Now, for that reasoning, even if the neder that the person took not to have anav from that other person was not for the benefit of that person, you still wouldn't permit it shaloi b'fun of the other person, because the person would still suspect him. It has nothing to do that it was for the benefit of that other person. So those are the two different reasonings in this halacha, whether it's because of to be embarrassed or if it's because of chashad. And the difference is regards if it has to be specifically something that's for the benefit of that other person. Another difference the Ram brings between the two different interpretations is that according to the interpretation that says because of suspicion, so therefore when you notify him that you are matir the neder, then obviously that would be permitted, even shalei b'fanav. He doesn't have to be present. As long as he finds out about it, then he won't suspect him anymore. But according to the interpretation that it's because of shame, then even if you notify him, that's not going to work because it's only in front of him. Because if you're matir the neder, although you're trying to help him out, but you go quickly in some side bezdin and he's not there when you're doing it, even if you notify him, it's much easier to send a text than to call than to be present and tell the person something more embarrassing when he's present. Then you're not going to be able to do that. And therefore, that would be another difference regards to if you notify him, that would work for chashad, and therefore you could do it shalei b'fanav, but it wouldn't work for busha, because the busha is only when he's present, and that's what we do, so that the person will not undo the neder, which was for his friend's benefit. So those are the two interpretations, but that's the halacha. If you take a neder, forbidding yourself to have anav from your friend, he has to be present when you're being matir the neder. So the Gemara says, mili, what's the source for this halacha? So Amar Rav Nachman, he says, like it says the pasuk in Shemais, which was that which we're continuing from the previous stuff that we had quoted this context. So Vayem Hashem al Moshe b'Midyan. Hashem said to Moshe in Midyan, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, go back to Egypt. Kimeisul Chol Anoshim, because the men that wanted you dead, they're dead, which is Dasan Avirim, and as we explained the previous stuff, either that they were really dead or that they became poor. But either way, what is it? Why does it say that he said to Moshe in Midyan? So Amar Lo, it's because Hashem said to Moshe, B'midyan nadarta, it was in Midyan that you made this neder. So therefore, leich v'hata nidrecha b'midyan. So therefore, go ahead and undo your neder, also in Midyan. In other words, in front of Yisrael. So like it says in Pasuk, in Shemais, Perek Beis Pasuk Chafalav, it says, v'yoyel Moshe. That Moshe was yoyel, which was to l'sheves as ish, like the Pasuk says, to stay with the man Yisrael, and therefore v'yitin es tzipara b'itul Moshe. That's why Yisrael gave his daughter Tzipara to Moshe, because Moshe was yoyel. What does it mean? Ein Allah, the word Yael is Allah El Shavua. The term references an oath that he took an oath that he's going to stay there and he's not going to leave and desert his father-in-law. So like it says in Pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, Vayaveh Eisei Ba'Allah, that he brought him into an Allah, meaning Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu swear and take a vow regarding this, take an oath regarding this context, which is what? Which is also, as we had mentioned before, according to the interpretation, that it's because of Busha, because it was Lata'elis for the other one, was the same thing with Tzidkiyahu and Nebuchadnezzar. They were swearing as a benefit for Nebuchadnezzar, which is what? Which, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamin Beis, says, V'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad. That also that Tzidkiyahu rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Asher yishbi'oi b'leikim, that he had sworn to him in Hashem's name that he's going to fulfill what he swore about, and he rebelled and he didn't keep it. As the Gemara says, my mardu, say, what was his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar? So it's Ashkechet Tzidkiyo le Nebuchadnezzar da hava ka'ochel arnovachai, which was, what happened was that Tzidkiyo found Nebuchadnezzar eating a live rabbit. Now, Amalei, so Nebuchadnezzar was embarrassed. So he told Tzidkiyo, Ishtabeli, you have to swear to me, to le megalas elavai, that you're not going to reveal this. Really tipping mills that the word shouldn't get out, that I'm doing such a inhumane type of a thing. So Ishtabeli, so he swore. At the end, he was in such pain that he couldn't reveal this secret about this despicable thing that Nebuchadnezzar did, that he was becoming ill in his body. So he went to the Chachamim, and he was shoyel on his Shavuah. He thus revoked his Shavuah by being shoyel on his Shavuah, which means you go and ask and you find a way out. And therefore he told people what Nebuchadnezzar had done. Now, Shama Nebuchadnezzar, the Kumavazanli, Nebuchadnezzar heard that people were making fun of him, mocking him, what he had done. So Shalach va'aisi Sanhedrin mit Tzidkiyahu. So he went and he sent for the Sanhedrin, the big Bezdin, and Tzidkiyahu. So Amalayin, he said to them, Chazitun my ko'ovet Tzidkiyahu, do you see what Tzidkiyahu did to me? Lav hochi yishtabeya b'shmod d'shmai d'le megalina, didn't he swear by the name of heaven that he's not going to reveal the secret? So Amalayin, they said to him, Itchalei ha'shavasa, he didn't do anything wrong. He was shayil on the shavuot. You can make a shavuot, but then you could be shayil on it. So Amalahu, he said to them, Mitchal na'shavasa, you could make an oath, and then you could be shayil on it? Amalayin, they said yes. So Amalahu, but he asked them, Befanov, oyefel eshalei befanov. Is that only when the person that you made the shavuot to is present there, and these witnesses there, and he's there when you're undoing it, or even when that person that he made it to is not present? So Amalei, they said to him, which was the halacha we're quoting in Befanov, that's only when the person that he made it to, which is like the first interpretation we brought, for example, which was because of Busha, that it was for benefit of that other person. You can't just be shoyl on it. You can find the Pesach, but it has to be with that other person present, which was like by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisroi, where he took the Shavuot to Yisroi, so therefore B'midjan, where in front of Yisroi, he has to be shoyl on it. So they said, you're right, it has to be in front of that person. So Amalahoin, so he said to the Sanhedrin, Va'atun ma'avdis, and so what were you doing? My time alayim ritan litzikir. Why don't you tell Tzidkiyahu that this is inappropriate? You can't be shoyl on the shvur that he made to me when I'm not present. So miyad, so immediately, as the pasuk says in Eicha, he said to them, Yeshvul art, sit on the ground. Yidmu, be silent. Zikne batzion, the elders of the daughter of Tzion of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you acted inappropriately, and therefore I'm demoting you. And Amr Yitzchok, he comments. He says this teaches sheshamtu kar metachdim, that although that he had sat them on this, on these cushions, he now removed the cushions and said, now you sit on the floor because you acted inappropriately. Now, one thing the Ram points out is that from the fact that the Sanhedrin permitted Tzidkiyahu, and even if you're going to say that, if you would say that it wouldn't work after the fact, because the halacha and the Braisa says you could only permit it when the person's there, so then how could they have permitted it for Tzidkiyahu to reveal the secret? So therefore the Ram points out, it sounds like that at least after the fact, it's permitted, although when you want to be shoyl on a neder or a shvua, that other person has to be present, and here Nebuchadnezzar wasn't present, and still the Sanhedrin permitted it, obviously, at least after the fact, it works. Now, on that the Ran says, but if you're going to ask, but even if you say after the fact, that works, but initially, it's forbidden to do it without the other person there, so how did the Sanhedrin permit it to Tzidkiyahu if Nebuchadnezzar wasn't there, like his claim was to them? So on that the Ran says, you could say that for a mitzvah purpose, it is permitted. Now, Tzidkiyahu was in so much pain when he couldn't reveal this secret that he was held back from fulfilling all his spiritual endeavors. Moreover, it was a mitzvah on the Sanhedrin to fulfill the commandment of the king who told them to permit it, and it was that mitzvah which allowed them to go ahead and do it, even shalei b'fanav of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, however, he says that others say that's actually not a proof, as the other proofs that the Ram brings, that truthfully, even after the fact, it's not permitted. You have to be shoyl on the neder, the shvuah, only befanav, and it will not work if that other person's not there. Because as we see, as the pasuk screams about Tzidkiyahu, and he got punished for this, and also as the pasuk says that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, that made him swear by Likim, and so writes the Ravid, as he says, go out and look what happened to the Sanhedrin and to Tzidkiyahu, that they were punished for what they did. Obviously, the Ravid says that it's actually not permitted. Even after the fact, it will not be considered a revoking of the neder or of the shvuah even after the fact. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about noilid, Remeyam, he says, Yesh devam shein kin noilid ve'in kin noilid. There are certain things that are like noilid, which according to the Chacham is not a valid Pesach, but they're not really like noilid. And the reason being is, as the Gemara will explain, is because he's really making the whole neder contingent on this idea. So although he didn't make a full fudge tonight, and therefore it's like a regular neder, and what ends up happening is noilid, it's only later development. But since that was the primary focus of the neder, it's almost like it was contingent on that, and therefore when that thing's not there anymore, it's not so much as noilid as it is not going to be noilid, because it's really like a condition that was contingent on the whole neder itself. Now, however, the sages do not agree, and they say that, no, that still will be a problem about Noilid, and therefore not a valid Pesach for the Neder. So the Mishnah says, Ketzer, what's this case? For example, if somebody says, Koy Nimshani Noises, Polonis, I'm taking a Neder, I am not marrying that woman. Why? Shevira, she has a bad father. Now, since he said, because the father is bad, sounds like it's only because, as long as she has a bad father. Now, therefore, Amru loy, once they tell him, Mays, he's dead, Oisha asa tshuva, or he repented, now that changes. The whole reason why he didn't want to marry her was because of the father-in-law. Now he's not around. That's the understanding. Yes, death is a later development, but it's not going to be considered in the halacha of Nailad, because it's almost like the Ned was only as long as he was that father. As long as he's not that father, then it's not the neder. Or for example, he says, I'm taking neder, I am not walking into that house. Why? There's a bad dog in there. Or there's a snake in there. Now, Amalai, when they tell him, that the dog is dead or that the snake was killed, it's like Nailud, but it's not really Nailud, and therefore Ramey holds that's going to be permitted. Because the whole context of the Neder, you could tell from what he was saying, is only as long as that element was there. Once it's not there anymore, that's really the undoing of the Neder. But, however, the sages did not agree to Remeir, and death is considered a later development, and therefore not a valid Pesach. Now the Mishnah said, as the Gemara quotes, Kainim Sha'ani, and the Girsa of Achulu is that someone takes a Neder that I'm not marrying that woman because of her father. And then it turns out that he's dead or that he repented. So that the Remeir said, so fine, now he's permitted to marry that woman. Now that the Gemara asks, why does Remeir say Noilid and not Noilid? Meis Noilid who? Death is a later development. And as the Chacham said in the previous Mishnah, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that's not a valid Pesach for a Neder. So Amar Ravuna says, as we had alluded to this, as we interpreted the Mishnah, Nasa Ketoyla Nidre Bedavar. It's as if you made the whole Neder contingent on this concept. Now that's why it's going to be permitted, actually, even without having being Shoyl on the Neder by a Chacham, as the Ran says, because there's no more Neder anymore. The Neder was only, it was within a limited framework because of such a father. Once he's dead, so there's no more Neder. And actually, you don't have to be Shoyl on the Neder. And the reason being is because, and it's not even within the framework of Nailid, even though it is a Nailid concept, because the whole Neder was based on that. That's Rav Huna's interpretation. Rav Yechonamar, he gives a different resolution of this question. He says, when the Mishnah says that they said to him that he's dead or that he repented, doesn't mean that then at a later point in time he died. It means Kfar Mesh, they tell him that when you took the Neder, he was already dead. V'kfar Asa Tshuva Kamerle, and that he had already repented. In other words, before you took the Neder. Now that's why it's going to be permitted, is because it was a mistake in Neder. It's what's called Neder Tos. It was taken under a mistaken premise, which was only because the father was bad. There is no such father. He's not even alive. So when you're taking such a Neder, that's why Kondra Meir, it's permitted. Now, but if so, the Ran wonders, according to this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, then how could the Mishnah say that there are things that are like Noilid, but since you're saying that it's Toma that they're telling him he's already dead, so it has no similarity whatsoever to Noilid. If you say like Rav Huna, so it's something that happens at a later point in time, he just holds it's not a problem, and that's why it's Ein Noilid, because the whole Neder was contingent on that. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, what does that mean? It's like Noilid or not Noilid? We understand that it's going to be Mutter, and that's what you mean, it's not like Noilid. It's a valid Pesach, but it's not even like a Pesach. It's just because it was a Neder Betos. How could this be like something that's like Noilid? Now, that Tosis explains that what Remeir was saying was, it's like Noilid. Why? Because it's as if, or it seems, it appears to be, as if the father died after the Neder, because he didn't know about it. He made the Neder. Then he hears that he was really dead. Oh, and if we're going to be permitting the person to go ahead and now marry the woman, that people are going to make a mistake and they're going to think that, oh, that even something that happens at a later point in time, which it really didn't, it just appeared to that, which is Nailid, is a valid Pesach, which it's really not. Now on that, however, the Chacham say that it's going to be Aser because we are concerned that maybe that they will confuse it with that when the father really dies after the Neder, which is a valid Neder, which is a valid Nailid, which would make it an inappropriate type of a Pesach. And something would apply to tshuva where we would not let it when he did tshuva, where if he didn't do tshuva, again for the same concern. So those are the two different interpretations about why is it considered not Noilid, where according to Rav Huna is because he made a contingent on this concept, so it actually ends at that point when the father is dead, you don't even have to be shoyl on it, and that's why it's mutter according to Remeir. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan says that no, the reason why it's permitted is because it actually never happened. It was a mistake in Neder because the father already was dead, already had repented before he even made the Neder. Now we continue on to Amud Beis where Masav Rabba. Rabba asks on this last interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, from the next Mishnah, Daf Samach Vav Mem Aleph, which is essentially like the Seifa of our Mishnah, where very similarly, the Mishnah says over there, Koinim She'eni Nais L'Plainis, Kura says, I'm taking a neder, I'm not marrying that woman who's ugly. And it turns out, Vaharina, she's really beautiful. Or Shcheira Vahari Levani says, I'm not marrying her because she's dark. Turns out she's white. Ktsara, I'm not marrying her because she's short. Vahari Arucha, turns out she's really tall. So on that, the Mishnah says, Mutaba. So he said, therefore, he's permitted to marry her. Now, that the Mishnah explains, Loibim Nesha Ku'ura Benasas, not because she was ugly and then she became beautiful. Or that Shcheira Benas Levani, that she was dark and she became light. Or that Ktsara Benas Arucha, that she was short and she became tall. Elisha neder tois. Rather, the Mishnah says, because it was a mistaken neder. It wasn't just like a Pesach undoes it, where it was a valid neder, and it wasn't a mistake. It's just some variable was a mistake. Definitely over here, which was totally one big mistake. He had the wrong information, so it's not a neder, and then we can marry her. Now, that the Gemara wonders, Bishlem Rav Huna, we understand according to the first interpretation that the Gemara brought from Rav Huna. The Amma that he said, Nasa Ketoyla Nidre Bedavar, he explained that the halacha of our Mishnah, which let's say is the ratio of that coming Mishnah, Daf Samach Vav Mem Aleph, that the reason for this halacha is that when he says, I'm not marrying this girl because a father is bad, so when the father dies, which is in the future, which happens post the nether, so he said, but the reason why it's going to be permitted according to Ramei is because it's like you made a contingent on that concept. So it makes sense. Tana, Toyla, Nidja, Bedavar. So the ratio, meaning our Mishnah, so first talks about one concept, which is making your nether contingent on something, which is when the father was a bad person and now he's dead or that he repented. And then Betana, nether toys, and then the next mission, the Samach Vav Mem Aleph, which we call the Sefer, says a different halachic concept, which is when you made a nether in error, where at the time that you made the nether, you thought she was ugly, turns out that it was one big mistake, she was beautiful the whole time. So you understand why I would say these two different Mishnais, they're really talking about two different halachic concepts. One's talking about something that develops later, but it's not a problem about Noilid, because you made the whole neder contingent on that. And the next Mishnah talks about something that actually was just mistaken information, where that's why it's permitted, because it was a neder betois. Now, one thing the Ran does ask is that why does the Mishnah on Samach Vav Mem Aleph say that don't say because she was ugly and then she became pretty? It just turns out that he really had the wrong information, which is pretty all along. On that, the Ran asks, why not? Why can't you say that it was that she was ugly and then she became pretty? Because that would be like the halacha of our Mishnah, where you toilo your neder bedavar, where you made a contingent on the fact that as long as she's ugly, just like by the father-in-law, as long as there's this bad father, which if he dies or if he repents, which Rav Huna explained, even though it happens later, it's still going to be permitted and not noiled because you made a contingent on that. Sirosa, it should be the same thing. That you're saying, as long as she's ugly, I don't want her. But his contingency is understood that when she becomes pretty, then she'll be permitted to him. So why does the Mishnah there sound like that it's only because she always was pretty and it was just a mistaken data, which sounds like that it wouldn't work if she was ugly and then she later became pretty. Why? What would be the difference between the halacha of our Mishnah? So that the Ran says, the reason is because a wicked person will ultimately, it happens that they repent and that they die. So therefore we evaluate his intention when he used the words that because she has a bad father, that he meant to say in that context, it defines itself that means to say as long as she has this bad father. Now, therefore if he repented or if he died, then she'll be permitted. But by an ugly woman, where things don't usually change, she doesn't just suddenly become pretty, it's not something that's expected. Therefore, he didn't have any intention that she should be permitted to him if at a later point in time she would become pretty, which that's something different that doesn't usually evolve as much as someone repenting or someone dying. That's what the Ram brings from the Rajba. Another interpretation he brings is that because had the next Mishnah Daf Samach Vav Mem Aleph, where the man had said, that I'm taking a neder, I'm not marrying this woman, Shehi Ku'ura. If he would have said Shehi Ku'ura, that she is ugly, which would be similar to that, like the phraseology of our Mishnah, She'avira, because her father's bad. You're right. Then that would sound like it's only Shehi Ku'ura, which is because that she's ugly, meaning when she's ugly, which would the inference mean, but when she becomes pretty, then she would be permitted, even that subsequently happens, because that would be like Toilet Nidra Bedavar. But here, the reason why the Mishnah Samach Vav Mem Aleph says that it's only because she always was pretty, but it wouldn't help if she later becomes pretty, is because he uses different words. He doesn't say shehi kura. It's more descriptive, which is an adjective in the sense of that she says, that ugly woman, I'm not marrying. It doesn't say that woman, which because, or that is she, that is ugly. Therefore, that doesn't sound like Torah Nijbadaba. And that's the difference in those, that minute change. If you say, I'm not marrying that woman that is ugly, that sounds like, oh, but if she's not, you're going to marry her. But here, on the Mishnah, Samach Vav Manav, the reason why you can't say that it's later, like our Mishnah, that Torah Nijbadaba, is because he doesn't say that woman that is ugly, he says that ugly woman. And since that's just describing the noun, that's not considered a condition of contingencies, and therefore it wouldn't work. And again, but that's why the Mishnah there says it's because of Nedar B'Toy. So we understand the purpose of the two halachas according to Rav Huna's interpretation. But El Rabbi Yechon, according to Rabbi Yechon's interpretation of our Mishnah, the Amad that he says, no, it's not going to help that at a later point in time that develops, even if you made a contingent. Rather, he says, Kvar Mesu, Kvar Asatru. But the reason why Rami says it's permitted is because they told him that he already was dead. And he already did repentance before he made the neder. So Lomalila Misna trades him the neder toy. So why do we need two Mishnayas to say seemingly redundancy, the same halacha of a mistaken neder, which is at the time you took the neder, it was a mistaken data because she was pretty. The father was already dead. And therefore the Gemara says, Kasha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's definitely difficulty. What would be the necessity of both Mishnayas if they're both saying the same halacha, unlike Rav Huna, who they're talking about two different halachas of being Tehle Nijib Bedavar and of Neder B'Toys. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. V'oid Am Remeir, and moreover Remeir says, another leniency, as he said in the previous Mishnah, regarding that it's Noilid V'Eino Noilid, that it's not going to be a problem, either because it's a Neder B'Toys or Tehle Nijib Bedavar. Now Remeir says another leniency regarding the halachas of finding a Pesach for a Neder. He says, Paiskan Lo'i Min HaKosav Shabbatar. We could create a Pesach, an opening for the person who had taken the neder, from something which is written in the Torah. Now the Ram points out, although the Gemara said in the Chav Beis Amid Aleph that essentially we don't come from spiritual types of perspectives, as the Gemara says, we don't tell the person based on the Pasuk that whoever takes a Shvua is Kemat Koras Cherev, is that he deserves to be pierced in the heart, or that whoever takes a neder, like Shmuel said, is called a wicked person, or like Reb Nosson said, that whoever makes a neder, it's like he built a bama. So why is it any different? Like our Mishnah says that we could be basing it on concepts or precepts from the Torah. So on that the Ran says, there it's different because those are very frightening concepts. And therefore, even had he made a neder with that intention, he would be embarrassed to say so. And therefore, it would be that his neder is being permitted because he's going to say, oh, you're right, I would never have done that inappropriately because he would have made such a neder. But those in our Mishnah, which are just individual mitzvahs, they're not so stringent to people. And therefore, the person would say, yes, I would have made the neder anyway. And therefore, when he says, I would not have, so that is a valid Pesach. So therefore, the Mishnah says, they tell the person who took the neder, look, had you known that by what your neder that you're making, you would be violating the negative prohibition of the Torah of do not take revenge, or do not hold the grudge, that would be as the Rush said, for example, if let's say someone made a neder, not to lend his utensils to his neighbor, because he didn't lend him. So on that is where, as the Gemara explains in Yumach of Gimel Medav, where that's regards to lending someone else's utensils. So I'm not going to lend them. That's revenge. Or I'm not going to be like you. I'm going to lend it to you. I'm different. That's holding a grudge. So had you known that the neder would be not to lend the person, would you have done that and you would be violating these prohibitions? Or that you would be violating not to hate your brother in your heart, or the mitzvah afterech kamocha, that you should love your friend as yourself, where, as the Rush explains, that would be in the case, let's say, where someone took a neder, that he's not going to ask somebody how he's doing because he hates him or because he doesn't love him. So therefore, did you know when you took the neder that you made a neder, you're not going to ask him how he's doing, that you're violating these mitzvahs? Or, for example, that someone took a neder that he's not going to support his relative. Did you know that you're going to violate the mitzvah of that you should support your brother with you? Shuhu ani. That he's going to be poor and you can't support him because you made a neder and you're not giving him any money. So Amar, so in all these cases, if the person says, look, how do I know that by making this neder, I'm violating any of these mitzvahs. I would not have made a neder. So hareze mutter. So that Remeir says, that's a valid Pesach. It's something that had you known at the time you took the neder, you would not have made it. And therefore, that's a valid Pesach. It was an error at the time of when you took the neder. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Huna bar Rav Katina l'Rabbanan. He asked to the Rabbanan, he wanted to know, how could the Mishnah say that one of the Pesachim, one of the openings that we can make for a neder, which is from all these different mitzvahs that we have in the Mishnah, one of them was, regarding one's relative, that maybe that the subject of his neder, who he said he's not giving anything to, is going to become poor, and you're not going to be able to support him. Now, so it sounds like from the Mishnah, that it says these are things, as Remeir said, from those which are written in the Torah, which means to say that, meaning that you have an obligation to go ahead and, let's say, not take revenge, or not hold a grudge, or not hate your brother, or love him, and so on that, Rav Huna asked, but Neima, let the one who took the neder say, call the ma'ani, whoever becomes poor, lavalai nafal, that's not my obligation only, that I have to go ahead and support him. My demati li lefarnasai, whatever I could come up with money to support this guy, behadikule am mefarnasanalei. I'll support him with everybody else. And that's permitted even when you take a neder, because although he said that he's not giving any of his stuff to that person, he's not going to give it to that person directly. There's a gabi tzedakah. There's people in charge of the community that take care of people that don't have money. Now, if the gabbai wants to then give this person money that he collected from that person, he's allowed to, as the Gemara taught in the Mishnah of Chesam and Aleph, that you could give to someone else as a gift, and then that other person could give from that person. So therefore, Rav Huna bar Rav Katina's question to the Rabbanu was, this is not a valid Pesach. What are you saying? He took a neder, he's not giving this person. Let's say his relative. Okay, but when he becomes poor, yes, there's a mitzvah chai chichimach, but that's not an individual obligation. It rests on the community. Now, moreover, is even though I'm part of the community and I have to support him, but the way it works is that the community feeds him. I'm going to give money to the community, to the community chest, and that's where he's going to get from. So it's not a valid Pesach to say that I would not have made such a neder because I wouldn't be in violation of a chai chichimach, even though I made a neder. I'm not giving him anything. So Amrle, they said to him, no, because ani yoyimah, I say, Kala neifel, whoever falls in hard times, ena neifel lidei gabay tchila, he doesn't come straight to the askanim, to the people that take care of the tzedakah funds. They first go to their relatives, and their relatives support them. Now, at that moment, then the relative is going to be violating v'chai chichimach. Because you're right. At a later point in time, he's going to go to the community, and then you could give to the community, and the community will give to him, and the fact that you took a neder will not be violating Mechai Chichimach, and therefore not a good Pesach. But the reason why it is a good Pesach, because had you known that you really are violating Mechai Chichimach, how? Because it doesn't go straight to the Gabbai, it doesn't go straight to the Tzedakah, people that give out the loans. He first comes to his relative and say, look, I'm having a hard time. Then, if you don't give him money then, which you can't, because you took a neder, then you're going to be violating Mechai Chichimach, and that's why it's a valid Pesach. Continuing on this theme about a Pesach, an opening to undo the nether, so the Mishnah says, "Paiskan la'adam b'ksubas ishte." We can find an opening for somebody due to the fact of him having to pay out his wife's ksuba, that we tell him that, look, had you known, because of what you did, that you're going to have to pay up her ksuba, would you have made a nether? And he says, no. So then we permit his nether, as the Mishnah shows. U'maisa be'echad shanodam ishte anah. One person, he went and he took a vow that he's prohibiting himself, he's prohibiting his wife to have any pleasure. Now, tough dinar. Now, his ksuba that he had to give her when if he would divorce her was 400 dinar. Ubal of Rabbi Akiva came in front of Rabbi Akiva. So, first of all, you have to divorce her because you can't have a wife that you're not give hanah to. And now that you have to divorce her, and it was the onus is on you because you created the situation, so he made him, he told the husband, you have to give her her ksuba. So Amalei, so the man said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, my teacher, Ches meis dinar and hanich, but my father left over in his inheritance 800 dinar. Now, notel achi dal meis, my brother took half of it, which was 400. Vani dal meis, and all I have is 400. And you're telling me I have to give all 400 to my wife or a kesuba? Isn't enough that we should at least split it 50-50? Let her get 200, let me get 200? So Amalei, Rabbi Akiva said to him, no. Fill out the meicher sa roishchi, even if you're going to have to sell the hair on your head, after nisn ksubas, you have to give her her whole ksuba. So Amalai, he said to Rabbi Kiva, ilo ha'yisi yedesh, okay, had I known the ramifications of me making a neder prohibiting her from having pleasure, that I would have to give her all my money, lo ha'yisi neder, I would never have made such a neder. V'hetir, Rabbi Kiva, and then Rabbi Kiva permitted his neder, that he didn't have to keep the neder, and she was permitted to have enough from him, and then he didn't have to divorce and give her the ksuba, because of this halacha, which is, you can make a Pesach for a ksuba of that one has to give for a wife. Now, the Gemara asks, incidentally, to this halacha, metatli mi mishtadi l'ksubasa? Is the metatlin, movable items, which is what we're talking about dinarim, which is currency, is that indebted to the ksuba? Which, this is a machlegis, Remain Rabban, the Mesef Ksubas, our Mishnah seems to be saying, that metatlin are mishubid. And that's why he has to go ahead and give her the 400 zuz, 400 dinar. So Abaya says, no, the case is to my karka shavachez meis dinar. It's not to my money, it's to my land, which according to everybody that's indebted and is a lien on it for a ksuba, which was a land of 800 dinar that the father left over. 400, half of it the other brother took, and now he was left with the other half of the land. Now that the Gemara asks on that interpretation of Abaya, but we learned in the Mishnah, Sar Roishai, where Rabbi Kiva told him even the hair on his head. Now, Besar Roishai Metatlihu, but the hair on his head, which Rabbi Kiva told him that he would have to sell to pay up Ksuba, is movable item. That's not considered land. It's something like currency. It's not like an animal. It's something that's movable. And therefore, if you're saying that it's only Karka that's Meshubed, and therefore there's no Raya from our Mishnah because it wasn't talking about literally dinarim, it's just the value of the land, but how could Rabbi Kiva then have told him that even you would have to sell your hair to pay up Ksuba? So now the Gemara answers, no, hachikam order. Rabbi Kiva was telling this person was that not that the selling of the hir would be to pay up the ksuba, because that's metatli. Rather, he was telling him, afilata meicher sarishcha v'eichel. Even if she's going to take all your land, which means to say you're not going to be left with anything, because you, all you had was 400 dinar worth of land, and that's how much her ksuba was, and therefore you're going to have to sell the hir on your head just for you to eat, even if that's the case, you'll have to give her all the land because karka is meshubet or ksuba, and you would have to give all of it. And again, although the Mishnah said that if he says later that I wouldn't have made such a neder, you're right, that would be a Pesach, but you have to give that all, and then you would have to sell the hir for yourself. Now, an inference on that, the Gemara says, shamit mina, so then we should infer from that, that a mesajin lebal chayv, that we don't organize the needs for the debtor. In other words, there's a machlekes in Perkam HaKabal in Bab Metzidav Kofidala Medalf that says that there's a machlekes, there's an opinion that says that when there's a creditor, we leave for the debtor the basics, a bed, a mat, the utensils that he needs for his work, food for 12 months, because we learn out the halacha where it says micha, which is poverty, being poor from the halachas of Erechin, which it says the same context regarding creditors, where just like by the halachas of Erechin, which a person takes a certain neder on the value of a certain person, which is written in the Torah, so then we say that the person at least retains his basic needs, so too regarding a Baal Chayiv. But then there is another opinion that says that we don't organize, no, you have to give everything. Now, for the fact that we learned over here in the Mishnah, the way we just explained it for Abaya, that even if you sell the hair on your head, that doesn't make a difference. You still got to give her all the land for a ksuba, and all you're going to have to support yourself is the hair on your head. Obviously, we see that ain't masadrin, that we don't organize the needs of a debtor, and that the creditor could take everything. And that's not like that other man, the Ummah over there. So on that Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, he says that, truthfully is that you could say that we are masadr. Generally, you do take care of the needs of a debtor, and he doesn't have to give everything away to his creditor, like in this case, to the ksuba of the wife. But what Rabbi Kiva was telling him was, Loimra to say, as we continue on top of Samach Vav Med Aleph, that even if you want to go beyond the letter of the law, and that is you don't want to avail yourself of this halacha of misadrin, of that where we let you keep at least your basics, and therefore you're going to give whatever you have to your wife or a ksuba, but don't think that's going to let you get off the hook, where you're saying, look, I gave everything I have nothing more, all I have is the hair on my head. And that we're saying that, no, if you don't pay up the full amount, even if you give everything that you have, that the halacha that Rabbi Kiva was telling him was, she'ein mekaren shtar kesuba, that we don't tear up the document of the ksuba. And the reason for that is because if at a later point in time he gets some money, she'll be able to go ahead and collect from that for her ksuba. Now, because, and that's the chiddush over here, where although, whereas by Erechin, It says that if, let's say, he gives all his money for the Erech, and that's all he has, where the Torah says we evaluate him how much he has, and then he later becomes subsequently wealthy, that he doesn't have to give any more for the Erechin. And although we learn at the halacha of Mesadrin, where we organize for the creditor, for the debtor, in regards to the creditor, just like we learn that out from the halachas of Erechin, and that's what the chiddush is that we're saying over here, is that that's only for the halacha of Erechin, but regards there is where we say that, okay, once you pay up, you don't have to anymore, but regards to the halacha of Sidur, that is how much a person has, although we leave him regards to what he needs to take care of himself, which Allah Mesadrin, like we do by Erechin, that's only in that context that we compare the two. But regards to the fact that when you give everything, and then from Erechin you're exempt, even if you later get money, that's not the case regards to Allah of a creditor, which is the same thing that was by the woman who is a creditor for collecting her ksuba, which is what Rabbi Akiva was telling him, was that even if you want to sell the hair, in other words, even if the only thing you can be left with is the hair on your head, what he was telling him was, don't think that's going to get you off the hook. And that is meaning, even if you want to exempt yourself from the exemption of from misadrin, that you could be left over and you're only going to have the hair on your head, don't think that's going to let you get off, that you could tear up the ksuba, because you're still going to have to go ahead and pay up the rest of the ksuba when you later go ahead and get money. And that's what the words of Rabbi Akiva was when he was saying that afilat amoicha sarayishcha, that even if you're going to sell the hair on your head, atanoishin leksubasa, meaning even if that's the only thing you're left with and you don't leave yourself anything, that still doesn't make a difference. You're still going to have to give the ksuba at a later point in time. And to the contrary, that's how the Rush explains that we could be saying like demanda amar misadrin. There's no raya that ain't misadrin. And to the contrary, what Rabbi Akiva was telling him was that although there is halacha misadrin, which you're foregoing, which again we learn at the halacha of Mesadrin, that you have your basic needs from the halacha of Erechin, and that he was telling him, but don't think it's exactly like the halacha of Erechin, whereas although by Erechin there's a halacha called Hesed Yad, that is, whatever you have, and then even if you have a later point in time, you're not going to have to pay off from that, and that what Rabbi Akiva was telling him, but again, don't think it's exactly the same thing, where even though you go to the extent and you give everything that you have, doesn't mean that that means you're exempt. Even though you used up everything, you're still going to have to go ahead and pay up your ksuba when you later go ahead and get money, and therefore we're not going to tear up the shtar ksuba right now.